heritage heroes that God wants us to sing. I love to hear people sing. This morning when I had the when I preached at the Highgate today, those old people just loved to sing. Then I went over to Beck, and those people just loved to hear me sing. Not too many of them sing. But I love to sing. I love to sing. When I was a little boy, I was singing on a tractor one day and driving by Elizabeth Raymond's house and then thinking nothing about it, just having me a good old time. I don't know, was Jesus Loves Me or get off my blue suede shoes or something. I don't know what I was singing. But I was having me a time. And that old in a tractor or an engine has a harmony or it has a note or a tune to it. And so you can sing right along with it, amen? And so I pulled that big old John Deere tractor in, and that's before they had the big cabs on it. So you're all out there all by yourself in nature, amen? I pulled that big old John Deere tractor in and jumped, shut it down, and climbed off it. And I heard Elizabeth Rain say to my dad, "Claire, I didn't know you had a radio on that tractor." Now, folks, that was before they put radios on tractors, if you can imagine that. And he says, "We don't have no radio on that tractor." And when I heard her say that, I headed for the garage. Amen. And but anyway, I love to sing. "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory." I want to talk to you about the Lord's might tonight and how that God certainly does great things in our hearts and our lives. I don't know about you, but I was so tickled about Sunday morning. And boy, Sunday night came back and the place is full. What a blessing. Then Wednesday night, tonight, what a great deal. And keep coming. Keep being faithful, amen. And I appreciate that very much, and I know the Lord does. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray you'd bless the word of God as you promised to. You said that it would not return void. And so, Lord God, I pray you'd help us tonight as we look into the word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says, his right hand and his holy arm have gotten him the victory. The Lord needed no help to overthrow the Babylonians. And arise of Persia. God doesn't need your help. I heard an old preacher once say, "You young preachers, if you'd realize that God can use anybody, even a donkey," he said, "don't think you're so good. Don't think you're so important. Just get out there and you be a servant boy for Jesus." Amen. And God comes in and takes care of the mess. Amen. And history-making, time-changing events which result in a transfer of world power and breathtaking to these Hebrews. Here we got Babylon. All of a sudden, here's the Persian Empire coming in. Takes it over. I mean, just takes it over. And exactly as foretold by the prophets. Men might interpret world events in the terms of the Persian mighty power. These people view the events as God's power. Amen. And that is always a good way to look at the passing events of time. God is in control, whether you like it or not. Though it seems he may not be sometime, he is in control. Events might be great or small or merely personal interest or international significance. But behind them all, God's hand and God's arm is in it. You have seen it in your own life, how God has moved you around. You have seen it in God's life, in your life, how God has put certain people in your way. I say this to my wife. How in the world does a little old farm boy from Michigan find such a beautiful little Norwegian princess? How did I ever find you? And she'll say, "I don't know." One day she says, "God wanted you to." And that's true. We talked years ago. We used to say that marriages are made in heaven. And, you know, I really believe that God has the right person for you. And sometimes people don't want to wait, and you take one that you shouldn't have taken, amen. And now you got something you can't get rid of, amen. But anyway, I'm not talking about you people, of course. But, you know, there are people that just, you know, they get in a hurry, and they just can't live without them. And then after a while, they find out they wish they would be without them. Amen. My daddy used to say it's better to want something you can't have than have something you can't get rid of. Amen. And so, so all instances in life, things happen. Things come in and it seems like that you just can't get to something you want. And then God has another place for you. What a blessing. Trust God in everything. Trust the Lord with all your heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. That's pretty good information. Somebody wrote me a text the other day. They were having some difficulty, and I should read this, Proverbs 3, 5 through 7. And it wasn't long, and I got to turn back and says, oh, yeah, I get it, preacher. How often we look at in our history books and we are forced to admit that God's hand is upon many things. I don't know about you, but I like that. I like the Weather Channel where it talks about how that weather changes outcomes of war and things like that. That's pretty neat, you know. And who controls the weather? Amen. And I was considering the Second World War, and I was reading this, and on June the 22nd, 1941, Hitler hurled 3 million men together with the munitions and machines of the Blitzkrieg along the vast front, reaching all the way from Poland all the way to the Black Sea at the heart of Russia. And he called that Operation Barbarossa. And it nearly successful. It was a panzer warfare in the grand style. Columns of tanks and armors racing towards entrapping whole armies, sweeping all before it. An invading tide reached the outskirts of Moscow in the north and Stalingrad in the south. There it stopped, overcome by exhaustion, resistance, mud, cold, ice, snow, and icy winds of Siberia that breathed breath of death blew from the steeps. It was colder than the Germans had ever imagined, four times colder than a meat freezes. The tidal wave of German aggression was stopped, not because of the Russians, it's because of the weather. Looking back, historians are awed at how close Hitler came to winning the war right there. And it was only Hitler had started Barbarossa 14 days sooner. If only the rains had not fell down 2 weeks longer, held out 2 weeks earlier, or Hitler had left Mussolini on his own at Balkans and had attacked Russia when originally he had planned. In May instead of June, but it was not to be, and we see God's hand in it, and we can open our map and draw a very line that God has drawn on his map, and the high tide mark of Nazi aggression from which invaded, the hordes began to recede and never to return again, which we're all glad about that, amen. Now, observe God's right hand. And behind that hand, his holy arm. And behind the holy arm, he stands the resources resolved to absolute deity. God can do anything but fail.
Amen.
That's sometimes we sing about. And it's something we need to be singing about. It's the same right hand and the same holy arm that involved a little affairs of our daily lives that we don't think are very important, but it is important to us. Is it important that our little kids are sick and we pray to Jesus? Absolutely. Is it important that our relationships are deteriorating and having some problems? Absolutely. Is it important that our finances are just running low? Is it important that the flour barrel is running dry and the oil cruise is about over? Is it? Absolutely. Absolutely. God cares for you. Is it important that these little boys and girls that don't have daddies, and some don't even have mamas, that our church takes care of them? Our church brings them in. Tell them about Jesus. Is that important? Yes. In a little thing. Is it important that we need a couple more buses? Absolutely to God. There's so many things that we don't think that are important. It is important to God. One time I was preaching how important it is, even when you wash your dishes, you ought to pray. And I have one little she came up to me and said, that's foolish preaching. Well, I said, what is it? I said, some people aren't smart enough and they throw a butcher knife or they throw a paring knife in the wash and they go in there and grab it and split their hand open. Or you have some glasses. We have they're quickly disappearing. We have a couple glasses that are very thin. And every once in a while when I'm in there washing them, one will snap on me. I'll tell you something, that cut your finger pretty bad. Is it important we pray when we wash dishes? I believe so. I really do. I think everything you do ought to be praying about it. And if you don't think so, you don't have a very big God. Because if your God is that big to worry about you when you're washing dishes, I think it's important for you just like driving your car or motorcycle. That is something to sing about. Something to rejoice that God loves me enough to care for me. If the God of heaven knows the number of the stars in the sky and their names, I suspect that he cares for me. I feed birds. Lots of birds. I went down and bought this bag of seed, $19. Don't look at me. You feed your dog that. I can feed my birds that. Amen? And $19. But I don't know what it has in it. But Brother Jim, I got birds on that thing I have never seen just in the last 2 days. Barb says, preacher, she says, they're going to eat you out of house and home. She said, that thing. I said, well, it's a small tube and they're really working on it, amen. But you know, the Bible says God knows. I hadn't put up my, because of some busy time in my life, I hadn't put my beard feeders out. I was feeling pretty bad and it got cold and I went over to Big R and got me a couple bags of that good old seed and wild seed and I put it up there and nobody came. First day, I felt so bad. I thought, oh my soul, they'll never come back. Oh yes, they do come back. Hey! Doctor's here, got the food, come on! Man, they bring everybody over there. Good night. It's amazing. They're just flying all over the place, amen. And if God cares for them, I think we ought to care for our little birdies, amen. And he cares for us, amen. Letter C, the salvation of the Lord. Look at verse 2. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the, what? The heathens. I like this. That's know and show, amen. The heart of the matter. So far as the psalmist was concerned, is the salvation which God arranged for men. It is an amazing fact that God desires our salvation. We cannot produce that salvation, so he provided it for us fully, freely, and even the heathens are forced to admit. How do you explain these Israelites? How do you explain away this little dinky country over in Israel? Explain that to us. Testimony of H.M. Stanley is very much to the point. In 1869, the New York Herald sent him, Stanley, to Africa to find David Livingstone, who, having won the heart of the world, had disappeared in the Dark Continent. And Stanley plunged into the interior of Africa after him and eventually found him at the Lake Tanganyika. And he was the only other white man within hundreds and hundreds of miles. Stanley greeting has gone down as a casual greeting, which was, Dr. Livingstone, I presume. There ain't no white people out there except Livingston. Come on now. But anyway, Livingston refused to return to civilization with Stanley, and Stanley knew he was very sick. So Stanley gave him some supplies and remained with him for, and supplies and some drugs, and remained with him for 5 months. Stayed with him. In 1871, he said, I went to him as prejudiced as the biggest atheist in London. To a reporter and a correspondent such as I, who has only deal with wars, mass meetings, political gatherings, sentimental matters were entirely out of my providence. But there came me a long time for reflection. I was out there, away from the worldly world. I saw this solitary man there and asked myself, how on earth does he stop here? Is he cracked or what? What is it that inspires him? For month after month, I simply found myself listening to him, wondering at this old man carrying out all that was said in the Bible. Leaving all things and following me. Leave all things and follow me, the Bible said. But little by little, my sympathy for others became contagious. My sympathy was aroused. Seeing his piety and his gentleness, his zeal and his earnestness, and how he went quietly about his business, I was converted by him, although he had not tried to do it. Isn't that amazing? Known and shown. That is why David Livingston did for Stanley. By his word and his action, he won a tough, hardened reporter to Christ into the knowledge of the salvation of God in the love and kindness offered to all mankind. Like Israel of old, Stanley discovered that the Lord is mighty to save. The psalmist then begins with the Lord's might now, number 2, and verses 3 to 6. And remembrance of thy mercy. There's two things here. One, remembers his mercy, and two, the results of that mercy. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. This was not done in a corner, like Paul said to Agrippa, as he testified of the great salvation. Paul said, this wasn't hidden, you saw it. And by death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the salvation of God has just wrought for Israel was without prudence in history. That a mighty, all-conquering world power, the Persians, should deliberately open its hands and let the captives go home. They're in Babylon. Remember, they've taken them out of Israel. Babylon, take them out of Israel, put them in Babylon. Persia comes in and says, okay, you can go home. That's not the way war is. Once we take you, you're always ours. And whether somebody else comes and takes us, you're still theirs. And so deliberate. Opened its hands. Captives go home. Not only that, they gave them finances to go back and build their promised land. And not only that, they promised them protection. Nobody's going to mess with you. God's mercy. Now Israel must remember it too. Even heathen nations should not help but take note what God has done for them. It is often thus that the first flush of salvation, we are so grateful. When we get saved, boy, we're so grateful. Praise God, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Pass the beans and the biscuits. Amen. Boy, I'm excited that I got saved. Heaven, man. I'm not going to hell anymore. I'm going to heaven. Amen. And then we say we'll never forget what a wonderful thing it was with salvation. Even though we do forget. He He does not forget. The result of that mercy, he says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Sing unto the Lord with harps. The voice of the psalm, with trumpeters, the sound of cornet. Boy, in the crowning day, the king will come, Jesus Christ will come, and he will ascend to his throne, and all earth surround before him, and the people are invited to participate in great joy. The world is to ring with the noise of music and sound and praise and instruments of music and brought to add to the ever-growing volume of sound, the scene, anticipated millennial reign, and they're excited. I mean, it just burst forth the heartfelt thanks that Jesus Christ has come to reign the earth. I don't know about you, but I really get sick and tired of people telling me that it's okay for a boy and boy to marry. Or a girl and girl to marry. I just get really sick of that. And what an amazing thing that God is going to come in and say, no, that ain't the way it's going to be anymore. He's going to take care of that, amen. And the Bible says that at the millennium, it's going to be just like the Garden of Eden. And the deserts are going to bloom like the Garden of Eden. And it's going to be an amazing thing. Don't you tell me that I'm not going to be shouting hallelujah, glory to God, amen. And what a blessing that's going to be. The king is coming. Amen. And he is coming. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad he's coming. I'm glad he's coming. I'm glad he's coming. Number three, we get the Lord's majesty, 7-9. He's not only the king of the Jews, he's not only the king of kings and Lord of lords over all the Gentile lands, but he's also the of all creation owns his sway. It was that way at the first, that way at the last. When he was here before, he calmed the waves. Remember, Peter and John, all those guys, hey, Lord, we're going to drown. Lord gets up and said, hey, be still. It was still. That's incredible, amen. He can walk. He walked calmly on troubled waters. Remember, he walked, and they thought that they'd seen a ghost. He just walked on water. He rode a unbroken colt. Did that ever? Sometimes we forget about that. Remember, he rode the colt of an ass on Palm Sunday. I don't know about you, but if you've ever been around animals that have not been ridden, you just fall off them like Mrs. Connor does, amen. For me, I was riding a great big Palomino. I'm telling you what, your legs are straight out on it, so she was so fat. And my little sister, oh, please, please, let me ride with you, please, 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 let me ride. And my little sister, she's about 7 years old. I said, okay. So they pushed her up on Peach's back. I never forget that name of that horse. That horse almost killed me. We headed out towards the road and out on the road. And